voters in the Central East School District are going to be going to the ballot boxes. What is the question that they're asking? What does the district seeking permission to do?
We're asking our community to approve a $9.8 million general obligation bond, which would allow us to do a number of projects in the district, anywhere from safety and security with our main entrances to gym seating capacity to new classroom spaces at both the K-8 and the high school, and to improve our traffic and parking situation on our total campus.
Is 9.8 the total amount of the project, or is there even more that's going to be looked at?
So if voters approve the $9.8 million general obligation bond, we will also be bonding against our sales tax revenue for an additional $3.3 million for a couple of other projects, specifically to add a new fine arts classrooms to our high school campus, and to relocate our ag FFA space to the north wing of our campus as well.
Where did this idea come from? I mean, obviously a wide range of projects that are being put together for this. Where did the idea come from?
So we started this process back last year when we were doing our strategic planning. And one of the components of our strategic plan is to have a world-class campus for our students. And from there, we wanted to put together a committee of people representing all different areas of the district, all different types of stakeholders, so parents, grandparents, community members, staff. And we asked those people, you know, what are the top priorities for the district? Even though this referendum addresses many areas, we still know that there are areas of need in our district that will not be resolved. So we needed to use that committee to say, what's the top priorities? What will resonate the most with our community if we decide to go a direction of going to a bond referendum? So that committee met several times throughout the fall and even hosted a community event called What's Next Central Lee, where they received quite a bit of feedback from community members regarding the concepts and ideas, the funding models, and where they were to take that feedback, tweak it, and then present to the board in December what they thought were the main priorities for the district, which the board has then taken forward into this general obligation bond.
We're talking about a roughly $13 million project and a nearly $10 million bond. Were those the numbers that the district just felt more comfortable with, not wanting to exceed those numbers, even though you said there are more projects available? The $13 million overall and the $10 million bond are just the comfortable areas in terms of spending money.
Yeah, because obviously we have a higher bonding capacity, but a couple things have to happen. Number one, we would have to limit the amount of technology and transportation and funding for general maintenance even more, which we weren't willing to do. We get about $750,000 in sales tax revenue, and about half of that is allocated towards technology, transportation, and general maintenance of the buildings. And the other part of the bonding capacity is we are approving the first question ballot, but if we were going to go higher, we'd actually have to have a two ballot question, which would raise property taxes even more. And we're trying to limit the tax burden as much as possible. But if we go to a two question ballot, it would considerably raise taxes. And we just weren't willing to do that for our stakeholders.
When it comes to the cost impact, you always hear the $100,000 home and what's that going to do? What type of impact, if this is approved, will taxpayers see here in Central Lee?
Well, if you have an assessed home of $100,000, and I'll remind people there's a difference between market value and assessed value. So if your home is assessed at $100,000, it would be the equivalent of about $98 per year in a tax increase. And so that breaks out to less than $8 a month, or how I like to say it, less than a Casey's pizza a month. If you own about 100 acres of farmland, it's about $136 per year. And so another thing with a lot of our farmers in the area, they think market value as well. Well, market value per acre could be anywhere from $6,000 to $10,000. The average assessed value per acre in the district is about $1,300. And so the way that breaks out is to about $130 some dollars per year for 100 acres.
When it comes to the actual projects, I mean, that's where that's the meat and potatoes of this. What is actually going to be done? The biggest issue that you've talked about, that others have talked about, is safety, student safety and such. What are some of those areas starting off that will be addressed when it comes to safety?
The two main issues will be to move the office at the high school to the front of the building and move the office at the K-8 to the front of the building. What that allows us to do is to create a double door entrance to where the front doors are unlocked and have an immediate entryway into the office for people to check in. And then that second double doors is locked. So they can go in the front doors, but they can't get past the second doors into the rest of the building. So if you're there to pick up your child or you're there to meet with somebody, you've got to flow through the office. You've got to receive clearance from the office before you get into areas of student learning. And that means that if you come to pick your child up in the middle of the day, you may never see anywhere else in the building or see kids moving in and out unless they're in the office for another reason. So I've had that set up at previous schools, and if you go into lockdown or you get into procedures where you need to tighten the grip of the school district, it allows you to do that very quickly. And so having those double door entryway at the front of the building is critical for creating a foundation for safety and security.
And that's really something you can't do, especially at the elementary right now because of the current entrance.
Right. So right now there's no way we could do that. You'd always have that space. And if you walk into the K-8 now, you could literally go straight left or right without anyone impeding you from the office. And so now we trust a lot of our parents and our guests, and we're privileged to live in a great community, but you just never know. And so we want to make sure that we are ensuring that safety for our parents in the area. And I'm one of those parents. I have kids that go to school here. And so I want to make sure that what's best for my kid is best for everyone's here in the district. And I really feel like that would be a major benefit in addition to approving safety in the district.
If this is approved, if the bond referendum is approved, how quickly could some of these projects start? And I would assume maybe this might be one of the first ones to get going. Would that be a safe assumption?
That would definitely be an assumption, because especially at the K-8 where you're doing new construction, the high school would be a renovation. So we'd have to look at how we move things around to make it flow the best. But, you know, all of this is in concept mode right now. So if it were to be approved on April 3rd, we immediately go into design mode. And so that can take anywhere from 3 to 6 months. Then you have a phase of creating construction documents and bidding packets and going through an actual bidding process, which takes, you know, almost 3 weeks. Hopefully, if all that's wrapped up, you could possibly break ground in the fall. But if not, if you can't break ground by October or so, you're looking at probably a March date to break ground with the winter that we have around here. So we could break ground in the fall, or it could be the following spring, but we will begin moving forward immediately to refine the design and get it right for our community. And that will involve engaging numerous stakeholders, students, parents, staff, board members, to make sure that what we're going to do is right and it's the best fit for us.
There's a number of other facets of this that kind of all intertwine together. This area will change because we're going to turn it into this. And then this area will change because of that. So can you walk me through some of the maybe a new addition that will turn into this and then we'll turn into that? What we're looking at in terms of new learning space, new facilities that would come out of this also?
Well, let's start at the K-8 because it's a little easier. The first step is to build the office in the front of the building, which will free up the office space to be a renovation for our new early childhood space. This is the first year of early 4-year-old preschool here at the district. And in the past, it's been a classroom of less than 10. Now it's a classroom of over 50 kids. And so it's taking up more space and more of our classrooms, so we want to give it a dedicated space for the future, and we've made 4-year-old preschool a priority going forward as well. The high school, there's a few more dominoes to fall. Obviously, the main office becomes our fine arts room becomes our main office. It's right at the front of the building there as you walk in. Then we take the fine arts room, and it it goes to the new fine arts classrooms, which would be new construction on the south side of our current gymnasium. We would, as part of the new gym, new locker room, would be a new weight room. And so we would clear out the old weight room. We have a wrestling room down there that is not being used because we haven't had a wrestling program since the year 2000. We would clear that area and we would turn that into both ag classrooms and the ag shop, which would then free up the ag classrooms, which we would then renovate to a family consumer science classroom and family consumer science lab. And for people that don't know what family consumer science is, that's our foods classes. And so we'd have a much more state-of-the-art atmosphere for our kids to engage in the culinary experience, which more and more kids are engaging in. And we have an incredible program over there right now. And then we have a lot of other smaller areas. You know, we relocate a math classroom into the main academic hallway, and we relocate a special ed classroom into a classroom that's currently not being utilized.
Are there new then programs or new courses or new initiatives that you can offer because of all the rearranging and all those dominoes that say, okay, now we'll have the space to do this. Now we'll have the ability to do this. Are there new additions that you can make?
We're always looking for new offerings for our students. I think it's reaffirming our commitment to CTE programming and to our fine arts department. Both Ag, FCS, and band choir have been working in spaces that are not adequate for their departments and for the size of their departments. So I think their potential to do more will be there with a better facility space. And our students deserve it for the quality that those programs are turning out with our students. They deserve a better space to work within. So we hope that we're able to offer more a higher quality program with better facilities.
Probably the largest of the projects in terms of maybe finances and then just the scope of the size is a new gymnasium. What is that? Which buildings would utilize it, or could it be utilized by a whole variety of students?
The gym is 27% of the total budget. So it's not a $9 million gym like some people think. It does add about 500 seats compared to our old gym. We want everyone to use it. Obviously, during the school day, our students in our PE classes will use it. But then beyond that, you know, we're going to have varsity competitions there, whether that be athletic or fine arts or robotics or whatever it may be. It's going to be when we have a main event here at Central Lee, we want it to be in that gym. But that doesn't mean we won't use the old gym, specifically during basketball season. We have a setup right now in our conference where we play JV boys, JV girls, and we use our high school gym and our middle school gym. So we have people traveling back and forth on our campus. It doesn't work really well, especially for parents that are trying to see both those games. All that will take place at the high school. And so there will be no moving back and forth. We will move our junior high games over to the high school as well. If you've ever gone to a junior high game in our middle school gym, it's pretty crowded. And I've heard from numerous parents how they do not like having to go to a junior high game. And so we will definitely move them to the new gym or to the old gym, depending on the availability with varsity athletics. Sometimes we have overlap with high school sports and junior high sports, but we want to make sure that all of our concerts are there. And so if you're an elementary parent, you go to our current gym and there's not much seating capacity, we want to move that to the new gym so that way people are comfortable and they can enjoy their kids performing and not worrying if they're going to get a seat or have access to a seat based on accessibility needs of the individual.
Are there any other facility in terms of rooms, classrooms, anything like that that we haven't touched on when it comes to the two buildings?
I think the only other space in the buildings would be the improved common space, the high school. And so we'd be removing a wall of the cafeteria, improving that cafeteria, and then adding that common space that would stretch from the cafeteria all the way to where the library is. So we'll have a multiple entrances to the library, and we'll actually create a flow so people can walk through that high school from any spot within the interior. They don't have to go all the way down the cafeteria and over to get all the way to the wing. It'll create kind of a circular environment, which will reduce the traffic congestion in our main academic hallway too.
And then another issue that's going to be addressed is parking. Obviously, when you drive out here on the way to Donelson along Highway 218, a very open campus, a big campus, and it appears to have a lot of parking, but it seems like there's going to be a shift in how and where people are parking.
The biggest point of pain is at the K-8. It's the smallest parking lot, and it serves the most kids. It also is the area where most of our parents are picking up kids, because obviously our kindergarten through eighth grade kids aren't driving to school yet. So that creates quite the congestion. This plan creates about 60 parking spaces. It changes the load and go area. It moves the buses back further to the east. Also creates more event parking for high school. And it's just some different traffic flow options where, such as the front entrance, you know, instead of an entry lane and an exit lane, we now have a right lane turn, would have a right lane turn, a left lane turn, and an entry lane. So creating better flow throughout the campus will help. Even the additional lane going from the high school to the K-8, so it would be three lanes wide instead of two lanes, will help, especially at 3:30 when people are here picking up their kids.
I'm assuming, as the typical bond referendum goes, 60% is required for passage on this one.
Yep, Iowa has the supermajority rule of 60%. So, you know, it's important people go out and vote and be able to say yes or no. And it creates a challenge in the state of Iowa. A lot of districts have been successful, though. So I just like the idea of it automatically builds buy-in from our community because they have a voice. You know, we won't bond against our sales tax unless the general obligation bond gets passed. So if this is a priority for our community, they'll tell us that. And if not, then we'll go back and make changes and think about December as a next vote or doing something completely different.
When it comes to a lot of times with bond referendums, I mean, districts are there to provide facts. They can't really be out there lobbying and doing that. What have been some of those factual, like the efforts that the district has made to get the facts out there for people to make up their minds?
Well, we have three community forum dates set. We had one last week, which went really well. We have one on March 1st. So by the time I believe this airs, it'll already happen as well. And then our next one will be on March 20th. So if they didn't hit the February or the March 1st date, they still have that last chance event on March 20th. You know, one of the popular methods of communication is we've started to do a Friday Facebook Live. First time over 2,500 hits on our Facebook page. So we'll continue to do that. And I even told the administrative team, hey, that might be something we continue to do because it's just a nice communication method. As questions come up and we hear them and we want to address them community-wide, we'll do them on that event. You can also go to our webpage. There's a place on the district tab that says April 3rd bond vote where people can get additional information. But going to those community forums are a good opportunity to listen to all the details, listen to the facts, and then if you have a question, you can obviously ask questions during that time too.
Has there been any questions that you've really had to go back and say, you know what, that's a good question, we need to address that as we move forward?
You know, I think I was able to answer most of the questions from last month. I can't think of anything. I know I tried to reiterate some of the specific questions on our last Facebook event, but nothing has come up that has completely stumped me or I didn't have an answer for. And I think that's a credit to we spent a lot of time planning this over several months. And so I've had to talk about this quite a bit. So now we're getting into more specifics and I'm able to articulate that. But I haven't had that yet, but I guarantee I'll have one in the next couple of events that I'll just say, I don't know the answer to that, and I'll have to get back to them on.
Has there been anything you've been hearing from opposition? Has there been these are the questions we're getting from people that might be opposed, or these are the questions we've anticipated, and this is how we're dealing? I guess when you look at that opposition side, it really probably comes just down to the fact of raising taxes. I mean, is that what you're hearing so far?
I hear a lot of it regarding the property taxes. There's a few people that feel our priorities don't fit with their priorities. You know, they may not agree with all the different things, even though they may agree with a lot of it. And so those individuals are going to have to make a decision. Is this worth waiting another 6 months or another year for changes, or is this something that I'm okay with now? You know, some people want more details. They want to know specifics of foundations and building materials, those kind of things. We're just not in a design process, so we can't do that. And I remember that came up a lot during the courthouse referendum as well. And unfortunately, these processes aren't designed that way. And so that's why we have elected school boards. And so people will be able to listen to our school board members, and those school board members will have an active participation in some of those decisions as well.
What is that pitch? What is that 15, 20, 25 second pitch as to why you think people should support it and get out and support this?
Well, I always play the hometown boy card, so I'm going to do it again. I'm a product of this system, and a lot of these issues that I feel that we are addressing now are not new issues. They've been around for 20 years. Now's the time that we start to think about what Central is going to look like in 2050. We have an opportunity to make things better right now for our students. And that may mean that we have to invest in our schools once again. We haven't done it since the 80s. I think what we're asking voters to approve is a huge investment in Central Lee and the students that we provide for our community. And I feel it's a great opportunity for us to say this is why we're very proud to be Central Lee.